Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Welcome to episode 6 of the Musical Weave podcast. I'm your host Rico, also known as the Musical Weave. And this week, I actually started a new journey in my life. I started a fitness journey. I've been overweight for a good majority of my life, and I just kind of decided, time to, take accountability and, take my health into, real consideration. So I actually started going to the gym. I started Tuesday. I actually went to the gym this morning. And my schedule is going to consist of, I go to the gym Monday through Saturday, with Sunday being my off day. But don't let that scare y'all. There still would be an episode of the Musical Week podcast every Saturday. If anything, this is probably better. This will probably, force me to actually kind of make a set time on when the episodes come out, because I'm trying to get better at that, of trying to set a schedule for when the episodes come out. I mean, I can guarantee y'all there will be an episode every Saturday, but I know it gets, a little jarring, confusing, that, some Saturdays the episode might come out like around 4 or 3, and sometimes it's not gonna come out till like later that night, like around 7 or 8, so I'm trying to get better at that, y'all, so just bear with me. A lot of real life stuff going on, but I will definitely be trying to fix the scheduling issue. But going into what's in my rotation as far as music, anime / other, TV shows or, movies I've been watching. As much of a weeb I am, I don't watch anime all the time. So keep that in mind. It might not always be anime, for the past couple weeks or whatever. I've been watching, other stuff besides anime. And what do I have in rotation as far as what am I playing as far as video games go? Starting off with music, I actually just started getting into this rapper named Larry June, who is a rapper outside of the West Coast, specifically the Bay Area. Yay area, shout out to E40. But I started getting into Larry June. I've heard him on feature on some other tracks. Like, he was on the Joey Badass 2000 album. He had a feature on there. He had a feature on this local rapper from Houston. His name's Les. That's L-E dollar sign. He was featured on his last, big album. Because the way he works is he puts out an album every, quarter. With one album being, the one that's coming at the end of the year, that's the big project. And the big project was E30 or something like that, a reference to, the E30 BMW. And Larry June had a feature on that, and I like that. I've liked him on features, but most of the time I don't really like that West Coast kind of rapping style where it's semi, talking, semi kind of offbeat kind of flow. But with Larry June, one thing I do gotta give him is he picks some great fucking beats. The beats he gets, oh my god. And he actually did a collab on one of my favorite producers right now, Cookin' Soul. And I mean, I didn't really check it out because when I saw Larry, it was a Larry June project, I'm like, I don't think I'm gonna like it, so I might as well just not waste my time with it. If he puts out the instrumentals for the album, I'll listen to that. But if he doesn't, then I guess this is just one project I'm gonna skip from Cookin' Soul. But I don't know what it was what made me start all right, let me give Larry June a chance. Maybe it's just I wanted something different in terms of rap, because as much as I love rap, there definitely is a saturation right now. A lot of trap rappers, a lot of kind of the same BS that we hear. So I'm and plus I'm kind of on my fitness journey, and I don't know, maybe it's just you know, the universe timing shit well, kind of. Because when I started listening to Larry June, he's actually different, because he talks a lot about, you know, keeping it P, keeping the player, you know, keep it pushing, get your money. You know, he talks a lot about, you know, living healthy. Talks a lot about drinking orange juice. And yeah, it's, you know, a lot of, you know, smooth player talk, you know, keep pushing, don't worry about the BS, you know, get your money, focus on your health, focus on your family, you know, and, you know, just keep it player, you know. And the way, you know, he like he kind of talks over the, because it's like he's rapping, but it's also kind of like, you know, he's just like talking that, you know, player, you know, kind of a smooth talk. And I love that shit. And like I said, the beats he picks, like the one he did with Cookin' Soul, like that whole album and the beats, yo, those are crazy. They sound great in the whip. And even though, like, it makes for good, you know, cruising music, you know, you got the window down, driving, you know, down the highway, or, you know, cruising down the street or whatever, for me, it makes good workout music, because, you know, there's a good rhythm to it, you know, nothing too frantic or whatever, and, you know, there's a good rhythm to it, and, you know, just the simple stuff of, like Larry says, you know, that kind of, like, you know, gives me, you know, that kind of, like, feeling, like, keep it pushing, you know, keep playing, you know, simple lines like Larry, why don't you ever answer calls, man, when I was, and then he says, man, when I was broke, where was y'all, you know, just like it's a simple line, but the way he says it, and, you know, the way the track sounds, it sounds, you know, so player. And I think I really like that. I think I really need that, you know, at this point in my life, you know. But Larry June's been in rotation, and recommend y'all check him out. Specifically, check out Orange Season. That's the collab album he did with Cookin' Soul. Moving on to video games. The video games I've had in my rotation, I've been playing a little bit of Skyrim on the PS5. I mean, it still looks kind of the same it did back in 2011, you know, slightly updated, you know, 60 frames per second, that kind of stuff. But I don't know, Skyrim's kind of one of those comfort games for me. You know, it's one of those games I can always come back to, you know, have a, you know, good chill time. You know, it's not like Elden Ring where, you know, it's constantly punishing me. I saw this this little video of someone playing Elden Ring, and they're like, it's supposed to be an RPG. What role am I playing? The fucking victim? And while, like, all, like, this, like, stuff's coming at him trying to kill him, like, it looks like, you know, he's like, it looks like hellfire and fucking, like, meteors coming down, you know, trying to kill him. And RPG stands for role-playing game, so it's like, what role am I playing? The victim? I mean, how is this supposed to be fun? And that's how I feel sometimes about Elden Ring. I'm still trying to make my way through it, but I need a comfort game, and Skyrim is kind of filling that for me, you know, playing through it for the umpteenth time. But I still enjoy and love it as much as I did, you know, the first time I played it, like, back in, like, 2011. So yeah, playing Skyrim. Started trying to get back into Destiny 2. I played Destiny 2, like, back in the day, like, 3-odd years maybe now, and there's been so much stuff that's been added since I last played Destiny. Like, I think when I last played Destiny 2, I think only, like, the first real expansion came out, and now, like, I see there's, like, 3 or 4 expansions that, like, I missed. And, like, you know, there's, like, an actual, like, kind of, like, story to Destiny 2, and you need to get the expansions to keep continuing the story. So, like, it started off in this the Witch Queen expansion, or whatever it's called, on Destiny 2, and I was so lost. I'm like, what is going on? Like, I'm just playing it, you know, just as a game. I don't know what is going on, but I'm trying to, you know, get back into Destiny 2. We'll see how that goes. Now, what's in my rotation as far as anime? It is an anime this time, y'all, and it's one I've been highly anticipating. I've been referencing it in the past, like, 2 episodes of the podcast so far, and it finally came out this past Tuesday, Cyberpunk Edgerunners. Animation handled by Studio Trigger, one of my favorite animation studios. They're behind some of my favorite animes like Gurren Lagann, Kill la Kill, which is like one of my top 10 animes for me. And you know, because you know one thing about Studio Trigger, they are unique. They have a unique style of how they do their animes, and it shows, and the quality is always, you know, top notch. They're kind of like a studio Ufotable, where Ufotable, they don't take on a lot of projects. You know, Ufotable only has really done, you know, the Fate series, you know, Fate Stay Night, Unlimited Playworks, Fate Zero, Demon Slayer. You know, if you look at their catalog, they don't have a big catalog, but that's because they take few projects on, but the projects they do take on, they do them to like the highest degree of quality. You know, they're not like a MAPPA, which MAPPA is kind of an exception right now, but I'm not wishing bad or ill will on MAPPA, but I don't see MAPPA lasting this long if they keep on the same working pattern they're on. Because MAPPA, they put out quality anime and keep a consistent, you know, animation quality for most of them, but it seems like every other like episode, like I announce like, oh yeah, MAPPA got this, they're gonna animate this, oh yeah, MAPPA's gonna get that, and it's like, dog, like you're taking on too much, and to try and keep up this amount of quality, I don't know how sustainable that is. Whereas someone like a Ufotable is sustainable because they don't take on that much, and Trigger is like Ufotable, they don't take on much, but what they do take on, it is quality. And same thing applies for Cyberpunk Edgerunners. I freaking love it. One, as you know, just as a Studio Trigger fanboy, and two, as a Cyberpunk fanboy, specifically, you know, like Cyberpunk 2077, Cyberpunk 2020, the tabletop game, Cyberpunk Red, the tabletop game. I am a big Cyberpunk nerd, you know. I've, you know, read the books for Cyberpunk 2020 and Cyberpunk Red. I got, you know, all these like Cyberpunk dice, you know. I've like beaten like Cyberpunk 2077 like 2 to 3 times already. Like, I love, you know, Cyberpunk, you know, just the world that, you know, the world building, and you know, the lore behind Cyberpunk's world. It's just so fascinating and interesting. You know, it really like appeals to me, and plus, you know, the cyberpunk genre and the way it tells stories is all, you know, it's all really appealing to me. And Cyberpunk Edgerunners, you know, it really encapsulated, you know, the cyberpunk lore from, you know, the tabletop games, you know, Cyberpunk 2020, Cyberpunk Red, really well, even better, I would say, than, you know, the video game did. Because the video game did a good job of representing it, like, and allowing you to explore, you know, the world that, you know, has mainly been told, and, you know, in like tabletop form. But Cyberpunk Edgerunners did a good job of, you know, giving you a story of what it's like living in Night City. Night City being, you know, the main city in you know, the Cyberpunk universe. You know, the whole world is, you know, cyberpunk out, but, you know, a lot of the stories that take place are taking place in Night City. Excuse me, y'all. But if I were to give this a rating, I would give it, I mean, me personally, I would give it, the fan of me wants to give it a 10 out of 10. And for my personal enjoyment, I would give it a 10 out of 10. But for an actual, like, kind of critical rating, I would give it a 9 out of 10. Because, without giving away too much, because, announcement, I will be doing a special mini-series of the Musical Week podcast, where I will be, every Tuesday, I will be deep diving into the episodes of Cyberpunk Edgerunners. There is a total of 10 episodes. So for the next 10 Tuesdays, you'll be getting an episode in the middle of the week, where I will, you know, kind of give you a play-by-play, you know, break down, you know, certain scenes and like the kind of the significance or like the overall meaning of some, you know, things that happen in these episodes. But in general broad sense, Cyberpunk Edgerunners follows, you know, a kid named David Martinez living in Night City, and kind of how he decides to become an Edgerunner, a cyberpunk, you know, someone who becomes an outlaw, you know, in their cyberpunk universe. And I don't want to give away too much because I think I can give the series more justice, you know, deep diving into it with these special episodes. So be on the lookout for that. Every Tuesday, there will be an episode review of Cyberpunk Edgerunners. It hasn't been confirmed yet if there is going to be season two. I would love for there to be a season two, because I believe, you know, the Cyberpunk universe, you know, the lore, you know, and even the way Trigger, you know, did this. I mean, Trigger's not is famous for not really doing season twos like that, but I hope they make an exception and do a season two of this. But we will see what the future holds, and be on the lookout for the episode reviews coming Tuesdays now. Moving on to the news portion of the podcast. Sorry, y'all. Starting off with music this time. Sad to inform everyone, but recently, hip hop artist PnB Rock, he was on the 2017 XXL freshman list. I believe that was the year. I believe it's 2017. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he was on the 2017 XXL freshman list. He was robbed and killed in Los Angeles in the past couple days, you know, is when the story unfolded. And it's, you know, it's sad to see, you know, someone lose their life so young. And it's sad to see that, you know, he was robbed and killed for, you know, for some jewelry, you know, where on one hand, it's sad that, you know, he worked hard to get where he's at, only for, you know, to be taken away from him just because someone, you know, wanted a quick come up and, you know, one, you know, easy way of, you know, coming up on some money and, you know, stealing from him and taking his own life. But on the other hand, you know, it was kind of not a smart move on his part, because where he was robbed and killed was in a Roscoe's Chicken at Los Angeles, which it was in the not nicest part of, you know, Los Angeles. While, you know, he's wearing all his jewelry and stuff, whereas, like, ideally you should be able to, you know, enjoy, you know, the things you worked hard for, you know, show off, you know, the fruits of your labor, as they would say. But at the same time, you also gotta be self-aware of where you do it. You know, in an ideal world, you should be allowed, you know, just, you know, enjoy the stuff you do no matter what time or place. You should be allowed, you know, you worked hard for it, you know, enjoy yourself, you know, show what all your hard work accomplished. But unfortunately, that's not the world we live in, you know, showing that off in not nicer parts of, you know, United States, instead of people seeing that as, you know, a source of inspiration, like, look, this guy got it, you know, I can too, let me, you know, do what I gotta do in my life, you know, whatever it may be, you know, grind harder, you know, work smarter, you know, find a, you know, a business endeavor or whatever, you know, to get to that point he's at. That's the ideal version of it. But you have a lot of people that are envious of people who did put in the work and, you know, are reaping the rewards from their hard work. They're like, man, look at this guy, you know, showing off, you know, all this jewelry and stuff, you know, in front of my face. You know what? I'm gonna come off of him and, you know, hold him up, you know, rob his stuff, you know, get a quick come up, you know, get some easy money for, you know, little effort or work, you know. And unfortunately, you know, he passed away. He was with his girlfriend at the time, and that is how they found out PNB Rock was where he was at. Was his girlfriend, take a picture of their meal. And while the girlfriend is not famous by any means, you know, she did get a little bit of clout, and, you know, PNB Rock did kind of show her off and like tag her and stuff. So some people, you knew she was like PNB Rock's girlfriend, you know, and she took a picture of, you know, their meal or whatever, and geotagged the Roscoe's Chicken that they were at, and whatchamacallit, and, you know, if you click on, you know, the geotag or whatever, it point blank shows on, you know, Apple Maps or whatever you use, which location they are at, which is, you know, it's, you know, that function, it should be used like, oh, like, I went to, you know, this cool bar in downtown, you know, showing pictures off, like, I geotagged, like, here's the location, guys, come check it out, you know, stuff like that. But it's easily exploited for stuff like this, you know, finding someone where they might be vulnerable, and, you know, taking advantage of it, and, you know, doing heinous acts such as this. So my prayers go out to PNB Rock's family. You know, I hope, you know, they make it through, you know, this tough time, and, you know, and their mourning for their fallen family member. You know, I hate having to report stories like this, because, you know, it's sad, man. It's really sad. You know, you can't really enjoy anything anymore without, you know, someone else, you know, feeling envious, you know, wanting to, you know, wish ill will upon you. You know, it's sad. Moving on to more, I guess, a petty topic. Drake starts a beef with Anthony Fantano. Anthony Fantano is a pretty well-known YouTuber. He's known on YouTube as The Needle Drop, and he is a music reviewer. You know, he makes album reviews, you know, stuff like that. Where Anthony Fantano has garnered a pretty large following for, you know, just being a music reviewer. I think part of it is because, you know, his kind of persona and kind of the way he looks, you know, he looks kind of like what you imagine like a music snob or like a music aficionado to kind of look like. So I feel like that image, and, you know, he may not have, you know, perpetuated that, or, you know, may not have wanted that, but, you know, that's, I feel like that's how some people, you know, look at him as. And it's gotten to the point where it's like, if you get like a really high rating from Anthony Fantano, then like a lot of people, you know, just go check your music off just based off the strength of his enjoyment, you know, even though he always, you know, he puts at, you know, at the bottom of the description, it was like, you know, this is just my opinion, right? Because a lot of people take it as when he gives an album a good review or a bad review, that he is saying like, this is gospel, this is objective, you know. You know, this is what this album is. This is what is quantified as. Whereas it's like, nah, dog. Like, this is just my opinion. This is like how I enjoyed the album. What flaws I found in the album. The flaws I think are flaws in the album. And, you know, the high points I find in the album, if at any. You know, this is my opinion. You know, don't take it too deep. But some people do take it too deep, and Drake being one of them. Historically, Anthony Fantano has not really messed with, you know, Drake's projects like that. Like, he gave Take Care like a 5 out of 10, I believe. And like most of Drake's albums, I believe he's getting them like a 5 out of 10, you know, and like worse. Like I think the highest one he gave Drake was, if you're reading this, it's too late, he gave that one an 8 out of 10. But this last Drake project, Honestly Nevermind, which was, you know, more like a house dance album, he didn't even really give it a rating. He just said it's not good. And when you get a not good for Anthony Fantano, like that means like the project was so bad that he doesn't even want to really quantify it. You know, it's kind of like just like a general statement, like, dog, it's not good. You know, whereas like if he gives something like a 1 or a 2 out of 10, obviously it's not good, but he is going to pinpoint and, you know, exacerbate, you know, what is wrong with this album for it to be such a low rating, you know. So I don't know why Drake did this all of a sudden. It kind of just happened out of the blue. Anthony Fantano said, you know, he was just working out in his garage, lifting weights or whatever, and he gets a DM from, you know, a verified account, and he checks it, and it's Drake, and he sends him three messages back to back, like, your existence is a one, and like, oh, you're married to a black woman, I'll give your existence from a light to decent one. And it's like, for one, why out of the blue? You know, it's not like, you know, he just came out with the album, you know, and just reviewed it and gave it a bad score. You know, the album's been out for like a little bit, so like, for it to come out of nowhere, that's weird. And two, it's like, dog, why are you so mad? Why are you so tight about another guy's, you know, music opinion about your album? I get, as an artist, you know, we get attached to our art form, to our, you know, our work, you know, because we feel like we're giving a piece of ourselves or whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, dog, not everyone's gonna like what you make, you know. And sometimes it's easier said than done, you know. I believe I'm pretty good at it, you know. Sometimes I'm like, you know, might take it like a ow, but you know, you gotta be a big boy, step out, you know, take a step back and look at what criticism you're getting, because guess what, the criticism might be valid. You know it might be time for, like, you know what, you're right, let me go back to the drawing board, and, you know, maybe, you know, let me try something different, you know, scrap this one, you know, start over again. You know, that's something, you know, as artists, you know, we gotta get better at, is, you know, taking criticism, you know, on the chin, and, you know, trying to find value out of the criticism, and also, you know, not being so defensive with our work, because it is a form of expression for us. But just because it's a form of expression for us, and, you know, it's also an interpretation of, you know, of sonics for another person, you know. Even though we perceive our work as one way, another person perceives it as another, you know. You know, as soon as, you know, we put it out, whatever work we put out, it's no longer ours anymore. Well, it is, but it's no longer, you know, exclusively ours, you know. Now, you know, it belongs to everyone else, you know. It's out there for everyone else to consume, you know, walk away with their own interpretations, their own stories, you know, with whatever, you know, music or, you know, single project album you put out. You know, it's no longer exclusively yours, you know, it belongs, you know, to everyone else as well. Like, the funny thing is, Fantano did not perpetuate this at all. Like, he actually tried to make light of the situation. He made a video of, like, Drake, like, he faked, like, Drake's DM. He, like, photoshopped in a way where, like, Drake was, like, sending him, like, a vegan cookie recipe because Fantano's vegan or whatever. And I guess Drake saw that, and he screenshot it and posted what he actually sent Fantano. And Fantano's like, look, I didn't even make him, you know, leak the DMs. He did it all on his own. And, like, honestly, that makes Drake look more goofy. It's just like, dog, you're how old, and you make how many, like, millions upon millions of dollars, you know, like a month or whatever, or like a year or whatever, to like, why are you being so uptight? Why are you getting so pressed about this? Like, don't you got like shows to be prepping for? And you know, like, go take care of your kid, like, or go make some more music. Like, why are you getting so hung up on my personal opinions of your music? You know, like, dog, like, it should really matter. You know, you got a fan base, you got a really big fan base, you're like one of the most successful rappers of our generation right now, and you're one of the, and you're making like stupid amounts of money, so like why the fuck does it even matter? Like, go live your life, don't worry about this shit. And it just makes Drake look look silly and petty. But hopefully we get a fire album out of this, and we get a whole album of bangers of Drake dissing Fantano. That would be pretty funny, and watch that be the only time Fantano gives Drake like a 9 or a 10 out of 10. But moving on to anime news, so starting off with some spicy news, the chairman of Kadokawa, which is one of the biggest manga publishers in Japan. They have a catalog so vast and so long, I can't even go through all of it. Do your Googles, look up Kadokawa, and just look at how many series they've been responsible of publishing for. But the chairman was arrested for bribery. This goes back to the Japan Olympics, where apparently the chairman bribed one of the committee members $500,000 to, I guess, in order to kind of secure a spot for Kadokawa to be one of like the official sponsors of the Japan Olympics. Which, the reason why this is news is because, like, Japan takes crime pretty seriously. Like, if you're a person in a position of power and you get accused or get persecuted for crimes such as these, like, not only are you done, but the company might be done as well. Like, there's this group that they're called why am I blanking on the name? Well, there's this music group. They did the ending for Jujutsu Kaisen. They did the opening for Beastars. And the drummer actually got, arrested for fraud or whatever. And because of that, for a while, a lot of the group's music was taken off the streaming. There was, talks of, they're going to get dropped from their label, like, stuff like that. So yeah, Japan takes crime like pretty seriously. If you're found, possibly guilty of a crime, like, not only are you in jeopardy, but whatever career or company you're involved with, like, assuming you're like in a position, like a top position, like, your company might be in trouble too. So that goes without saying that the chairman being, arrested for bribery, and we'll see, if he's found guilty or whatever is the case, Kadokawa might, either go under, or they might survive and, be under new management, or, they might have to downsize. We don't know what the future holds, but, take this as an omen that, things might change for Kadokawa, and, some of these mangas, that get published or whatever, might not get published, or, might be a while before they get published, but we shall see what the future holds. We got an update on Bleach, the Thousand Year Blood War. The anime will roughly be about 50-ish episodes. There's no hard episode count yet, but reports say that it will be like in the 50-ish range. So it might be 50, might be a little bit more than 50, might be a little bit less than 50, but it will be in the 50-ish range. And it will be broken up into four cores. So cores being, like, for example, Spy Family. The first core was, the first 12 episodes that were airing, back in the summer, and in the spring and stuff like that. With core 2 coming you know, next month, the next set of 12 episodes for season one. You know, I don't know why they break it up into quarters like this, but that's just how anime goes sometimes. And it is reported that the Bleach anime will be 4 cores, so it will be broken up into, you know, like 4 parts, you know, roughly like around like 12-13 episodes a core. Why they just don't, you know, keep airing the episodes like all inconsistently, I don't know, but that is how it's going to be aired. The Bleach anime comes back next month. Really, really excited for that. I'm probably gonna have to pirate it, I'm not gonna lie, because Disney is, you know, they're being, you know, assholes about it. They're not simulcasting it, which simulcasting means as soon as it airs in Japan, you know, an hour later or whatever, it airs over here in the West. They're not doing that, and we don't know how they're gonna do it. You know, we've been kind of kept in the dark this whole time by Disney. Like, okay, y'all got the rights to stream it, but what are y'all gonna do with it? You know, they haven't said anything about it. So they haven't said anything. So I'm like, okay, well, I want to watch this. You know, I've been waiting, you know, a long time for the Thousand Year Blood War to get animated. So I'm just gonna pirate it. You know, you forced my hand, I'm gonna have to pirate it. You know, if you can't give me a legal or a right way to, you know, watch something, then I'm gonna have to pirate it. You forced my hand. So, you know, it is what it is, but excited that, you know, the Bleach anime is, you know, it's gonna be, you know, pretty lengthy. And it's also been confirmed that Kubo, you know, the author of Bleach, said, you know, there will be some fights that were mentioned in the manga will actually, you know, be animated, and some fights will actually be expanded on in the anime. Because the Thousand Year Blood War, it was kind of a rush job. Even though it was a pretty long arc, it was still kind of a rush job. That, you know, they're pushing, you know, Kubo, like, all right, come on, wrap up Bleach, just wrap it up. So some fights that were mentioned, we didn't really get to see. And some fights were kind of cut a little bit short. But in the anime, they promised that the fights that were mentioned, we'll actually see them happen. And some of the fights that were kind of cut short, they will be expanded on. So I'm very excited. Can't wait for Bleach to come back. But moving on to more news. As I mentioned last episode, we have news about Jump Festa of 2023. And Jump Festa is an event that usually happens around December. It is the event where we find out a lot of the anime news for Shonen Jump and stuff like that. What series are getting an anime? What series are getting another season of their anime? Are they getting a movie? Like a new series that, you know, we're going to be getting in the manga? Like, you know, stuff like that. We actually got news about the Super Stages for Jump Festa. The Super Stages being like the main, you know, attractions, main presentations for Jump Festa. And we got the Super Stages of what series are getting Super Stage. So what that means, you know, which series are, you know, getting a big platform, what that probably can get big announcements for these series. Starting off with One Piece is getting a Super Stage. I wouldn't hold your breath on that one because I don't really see much being announced. You know, we already got that One Piece film, so it can't really be, you know, whatchamacallit, a new film announcement. I doubt it's gonna be like, oh, we're getting a spinoff of One Piece, something like that, or at the most, maybe a TV special of One Piece. It might just be, you know, some comments from Oda, you know, the author of One Piece, might just be some comments. He might give an update on where the One Piece manga is at, like how far along are we until the ending. But that man's been saying, you know, oh yeah, we're getting close, we're getting close to the ending for I don't know how many years now. Even he's tired of saying, like, look dog, it ends when it ends. Like, quit asking me when it's going to end. So we have One Piece next. My Hero Academia is getting a Super Stage, so we'll see what is going to get announced there. You know, we might get My Hero Vigilantes. That might get an anime. That might be announced there. Might be an announcement for another movie. I hope not, because we saw how the last movie went and what that did for the anime series. So I hope another movie doesn't get announced. The author of My Hero might, you know, do what Oda might do and give an update on the My Hero manga, and might state, you know, like, look, dog, we got about like 6 months left of, you know, the My Hero manga left. Enjoy it. You know, maybe something along those lines, but we shall see. Next is Black Clover. Hopefully be getting some news on the Black Clover anime, maybe getting a movie, you know, update on the manga. You know, I need to get back into Black Clover. I haven't watched Black Clover in a while. Next is Jujutsu Kaisen. It's getting a super stage, so hopefully we get a trailer for season 2. And season 2 is supposed to be covering the Shibuya Incident arc, which is like so far the best arc in all of Jujutsu Kaisen. You know, crazy shit happens. I cannot wait. Next is Demon Slayer. I'm kind of curious what they're gonna do with Demon Slayer. Probably just be like another trailer for, you know, season 3 of the anime or whatever. Maybe a spinoff series, who knows. But we shall see. Dr. Stone is getting a super stage. Dr. Stone is a really great anime. If you haven't watched it, I'll recommend it. Hopefully we get an update on season 3. I believe we're on season 3 now. Hopefully get an update on season 3, and that's another manga I need to get into. I mean, I need to watch I need to read the manga for Dr. Stone. And next is Spy Family. Spy Family, you know, kind of the breakout star of anime this year. We'll be getting a super stage. Curious what they're going to announce. Next is Chainsaw Man. Also curious what Chainsaw Man is going to announce. Maybe they're going to announce, you know, season 2 or whatever for the anime, because I don't believe they announced like how long the anime is going to be for Chainsaw Man. But we shall see. Next is Boruto / Naruto is getting a super stage. I mean, I love Naruto. You know, Naruto and Naruto Shippuden. I love that. Boruto, it's a nod for me, dog. I watched like the first 50 episodes of Boruto, and I'm like, dog, what am I doing watching this? Nothing is happening. So I dropped Boruto a long time ago, so I don't really care anymore. I'll just stick with Naruto and Naruto Shippuden. And next is the Prince of Tennis. It's a tennis manga / anime series. It's pretty popular, I guess, but I don't really care for sports animes like that outside of Hajime no Ippo. So out of all my viewers, if you're a Prince of Tennis fans, well, you have, you know, that to look forward to. You know, it's getting super stage at Jump Fest, so they might be announcing something for y'all there. I will report it, of course, when Jump Festa happens. But yeah, we have quite the lineup for Jump Festa. Of course, this event ain't happening until like around December, and we probably won't get confirmation on what the event date is gonna be until like later on, probably like around November or something like that, or October. But when Jump Festa does roll around, I will be reporting on it, and you know, I'll probably make like a special episode dedicated to all the announcements of, you know, Jump Festa when, you know, that time rolls around. But until then, you know, you have these series to look forward to. I'm getting some big announcements. Moving on to gaming, Disney and Marvel had their first gaming showcase, and it went poorly, mainly because with the gaming showcase, you gotta bring your A game. Like, it's fine if you have like one or two, like, and like, it's that looks okay, like, I might check it out, but you gotta come with some bangers, like some good announcements, you know, to really grab people's attention. Example of being, you know, this past, you know, State of Play by PlayStation, where they showed off, you know, Ishii like a dragon. You know, they showed off a trailer for that. That looks fucking cool. They showed off, what was it, The Last Ronin or Shinobi, whatever it was. That trailer looked cool. Then they ended all off with the new story trailer for God of War Ragnarok. So they brought their A game as far as the presentation goes, of like, look, these are some games that are coming out. Here are some fire ass, you know, trailers. And, you know, some of these games are not, you know, well known as like a God of War Ragnarok, but they were good tastemakers. Like, look, these games are fire. I'm pretty sure people were gonna fuck with this when they see this trailer. And they were right. Whereas Disney and Marvel, they did not get the memo. A lot of the games they were announcing, they were pretty whack, to say the least. A lot of them were mobile games, which in the video game industry, you know, us gamers, we don't like mobile games. You know, mobile games are never that good. And two, they perpetuate, you know, the business model that has kind of corrupted gaming, which is microtransactions. So when you announce, you know, mobile games as a company, like, you know, nowadays you're gonna be looked at funny. Like, really, a mobile game? Like, dog, we don't care about a mobile game, you know. Like when you get into gaming as a hobby, like, mobile gaming isn't really, you know, in your vocabulary anymore. Mobile gaming is more for, you know, the casual of people, you know. And even then, like, I don't know. I don't like mobile gaming. Now, a lot of the announcements Disney and Marvel were making were mobile games. And they showed off Marvel Black Suns, which is supposed to be like an XCOM, you know, real-time strategy type game. But even that wasn't impressive, because that game has already been announced. There's already been a trailer for that one. So it's like, dog, you're not really showing me anything. And the stuff that you are kind of showing me, it's stuff I already know. So their presentation went pretty bad. And for this being their first one, you know, they had to come with their A game. Then they didn't show us anything, you know, where it's like, bro, you're Disney and Marvel. Like, you have your hand in so many other companies, so many other IPs, and, you know, game developing studios or whatever. You have your hand in so much stuff, and this is the best y'all can, you know, present to us? Like, come on, dog. There is no excuse. Like, it's a running joke that Disney will own everything. Like, and it seems like every year it's becoming more and more true when you hear, like, oh, Disney acquired this this conglomerate, Disney acquired this, Disney acquired that. Like, dog, like, Disney owns so much that stuff like this is, like, there's no excuse. You have your hand in so many stuff, you can show us, you know, some quality fire stuff. But they dropped the ball, you know, by showing us some mobile games, and mobile games that don't even look that good. And showing us a game that has already been announced and wasn't even like a new trailer or anything like that, or like any significant updates or whatever. So Disney and Marvel, y'all need to go back to the drawing board, not only with your video games and with your Marvel and with your TV shows. Like, dog, maybe I'll talk about, you know, the state of Marvel in another episode, but, you know, maybe that'll be its own special episode, the state of Marvel, a musical weeb edition. But until that time, Disney and Marvel, get your shit together. Moving on, Assassin's Creed Mirage, it was kind of a big, you know, topic this week. It was kind of developing that a lot of major, like, gaming news outlets and a lot of, you know, legitimate outlets were reporting that Assassin's Creed Mirage was getting an adult only rating, meaning that only 18 and above can play the game, due to it having real, quote unquote, real gambling, which in the video game industry right now, it's kind of muddy on what is gambling right now, because like I've said in previous podcasts, like microtransactions and like loot boxes and stuff, that kind of is a form of gambling. But you know, a lot of these legal figures, you know, war powers, they're slowly kind of seeing it, but they're still kind of like, is it really like real gambling? Well, apparently Assassin's Creed Mirage was supposed to have real gambling where you get real money, and I guess if you win you get real money back, or if you lose real money. Like so it was supposed to get an adult only rating, meaning only 18 above can buy it. Not only that, it won't be listed in major, you know, like stores. So like it won't be listed on the PlayStation store, it wouldn't have been listed on the Xbox store, it wouldn't be listed on the Nintendo eShop. It will be listed on the Steam store, Steam being, you know, the major marketplace where you buy your games for, you know, the PC. It will be listed, but it won't be promoted. Like it will be like hush hush, you know, like, oh, it's there but we don't talk about it type stuff. But turns out Ubisoft, the developers behind Assassin's Creed, came out and said, look, this has been a mistake. You know, we can assure you that the game is not going to have real gambling. The ESRB rating, which is the committee that gives these video games, you know, these ratings, I mean, you know, rated E for everyone, rated T for teen, or, you know, rated M for mature, you know, this is the committee that gives these games these ratings. They're still waiting for their ESRB rating, but they can assure you it's not gonna be adult only due to real gambling. There's no real gambling in the game. So I don't know where they got this information from, where all these news outlets got it from, but apparently also in the official like Ubisoft live stream, when you know they're showing off the game or whatever, they put the adult only ESRB rating right there, and everyone was confused, like, wait, adult only? Like, that's weird. Like, because like I said, if you're an adult only game, like you will only be listed really on like Steam, or you know, they'll have to buy it from you directly. You know, it won't be listed, and you know, the Microsoft store won't be listed in the PlayStation store, Nintendo eShop, and even GameStop won't carry the game. Because if y'all notice, if you go to GameStop, you will never see an adult only game. The highest you'll see is an M rated for mature, you know. So that was a pretty, you know, wild story that was, you know, playing out in real time this week. Because one part of me was like, if it's an adult only game, that kind of makes me more intrigued in it, because I want to see, you know, like what is so bad about this game that it had to get an adult only rating. Because from my knowledge, you know, it is like a rare occurrence to see, you know, an adult only rating on a video game. You know, me personally, I've never really seen it happen. So I thought that would have been, you know, pretty interesting, and out that kind of made me more curious about the game, made me want to check it out more. But it turns out it was false, so I guess all is good in the Ubisoft world. But yeah, that concludes episode 6 of the Musical Week podcast. Thank y'all for listening, and I hope to catch y'all on the next one. Peace. Also, before, one more thing, sorry. Again, be on the lookout. Next Tuesday will be the first episode of the Cyberpunk Edgerunners review of episode 1. So for the next 10 Tuesdays, y'all have an episode to listen to during the week also, of me deep diving into Cyberpunk Edgerunners. And with that being said, I guess I will see y'all Tuesday for that. Peace, guys.